If you're following the world of cybersecurity, you know the landscape is always shifting. But the sources we've compiled today show something. Well, something truly fundamental is happening. We are watching the skills barrier that used to protect us from sophisticated cybercrime just crumble. And not slowly, but, you know, instantly.
That's the critical takeaway. I mean, for decades, launching a professional-grade attack required some serious technical skill. Years of coding, a deep understanding of network architecture, all of that. Our mission in this deep dive is to show you how new, specialized, and completely unrestricted AI platforms are making that reliance on skill totally obsolete.
So we're going to look at the specific capabilities of these malicious AI tools, see the actual malware they produce, and analyze what this drastic shift means for, you know, every organization's defense strategy.
Right.
Put simply, the deep dive proves that technical expertise is no longer the prerequisite for sophisticated cybercrime.
And what's fascinating here is how that knowledge requirement just being compressed.
Yeah.
It's gone from years of study and practice down to mere minutes.
Minutes of just talking to a chatbot.
Basically, yeah. Conversational prompting with a large language model.
Okay, let's unpack this. This brings us to what we're calling the end of the skills gap. When we talk about AI, we usually mean LLMs, right? The tech behind popular chat tools. But these new platforms are different. They're specifically tuned for crime. So what are the models that researchers are actually tracking?
We've got two prominent examples that kept coming up in the testing. First, there's a tool called WormGPT-4, which surfaced around September. It's marketed as a completely uncensored alternative, purpose-built for generating cybercrime tools.
And it's operating like a real business, isn't it, with a pricing structure and everything?
Oh, absolutely. It's got a $50 monthly subscription, or you can pay a one-time fee of $220 for permanent access.
Wow. When you connect that price point to the power it offers, it becomes staggering.
It is staggering. And that's what accelerates the scaling of the threat pool. For the cost of a decent pair of headphones, you get permanent access to tools that would otherwise require, you know, a criminal mastermind to produce.
Correct.
Then you have Kawaii GPT. That one emerged a bit earlier in the summer. It's a community-driven and often free alternative.
And free is the ultimate accelerant. It just removes the economic barrier entirely.
Precisely. Kawaii GPT is known for crafting these highly persuasive phishing emails and automating really complex network infiltration techniques.
Yeah.
So when you look at WormGPT's one-time fee and the free access for Kawaii GPT, the democratization of cybercrime is panicked. It's not coming. It's here.
You don't need to be a nation-state actor anymore. You just need 40 minutes and a credit card. Or not even that.
Exactly.
So that immediately raises the question, what are these newly empowered low-skill actors actually producing? Let's move to maybe the most alarming finding in our sources. Automated ransomware development. What happened when researchers prompted WormGPT-4 to create a functioning piece of malware?
The results were, I mean, they were immediate and highly sophisticated. WormGPT-4 produced a functional PowerShell script that targets Windows systems. And it did it in seconds.
In seconds.
Yeah. And this wasn't just some basic code that encrypts files. It was a blueprint for a fully professional operation.
That speed alone is incredible. But let's talk about the quality. What kind of sophisticated features were in that code?
Well, the generated code included not just the basic encryption, but also crucial operational security practices. OPSEC, the stuff seasoned operators use. For example, the script could identify specific file types across directories.
So it's targeted.
Very targeted. And then it encrypts them using robust AES 256 encryption standards.
Okay, let's quickly clarify for the listener. What is AES 256?
AES 256 is essentially the gold standard for encryption. It's the same military-grade security used by governments, by banks. The fact that an AI can just weave this into a functional piece of ransomware code instantly is, well, it's terrifying.
And you mentioned operational security, the OPSEC. Why is that specific detail so important for defenders to understand?
Because OPSEC is what keeps the attacker anonymous and successful. The AI didn't just encrypt the files. It also built in functionality for data exfiltration.
Stealing the data first.
Stealing it first and then transmitting it through anonymized networks to hide the attacker's location. A beginner wouldn't know to do that. But the AI does. It makes the attack highly resistant to easy tracing.
So the AI is handling the code, the encryption, the data theft, the anonymity. But an attack isn't just code, it's about people. Did it also handle the psychological warfare part?
It did. The AI generated the ransom demands to go with the attack. And they use these highly effective psychological pressure tactics, urgent deadlines, escalating payment demands, complex technical jargon just to intimidate victims. The AI is handling the full attack spectrum.
Which leads us directly into this social engineering threat multiplier. For years, the advice was always, look for bad grammar, strange phrasing. That's how you spot a scam. Is that advice still valid?
It is rapidly becoming obsolete. And this is maybe the most significant change for just, you know, the average person. Both WormGPT-4 and KawaiiGPT showed this exceptional ability to craft convincing phishing content that completely lacks those traditional errors, those little linguistic markers of a scam. They're gone.
So we're dealing with polished, flawless English tailored for maximum credibility. How targeted can these systems get?
Highly targeted. We're talking spear phishing messages customized for specific industries or even specific people within a company. They also incorporate realistic domain spoofing techniques and embed credential harvesting links that look perfectly legitimate to an unsuspecting user.
And the research confirmed that a novice, someone with almost no skill, could use these tools to create phishing campaigns that rival ones from experienced social engineers.
Right, the sophisticated look and feel. That used to be a natural filter. It kept the low-skill actors out. That filter is now completely dissolved.
So now let's explore what happens after the attacker gets in. KawaiiGPT seems to specialize in this next part, network infiltration and post-exploitation. What can it script once it's inside a system?
Right, so KawaiiGPT's strength is generating scripts for what happens after the compromise. It can produce Python code that establishes remote connections and then executes follow-up commands on the compromised machine.
So an attacker gets in through a bad link, and then the AI just hands them a roadmap for the rest of the attack. Can you give us a specific example of that data theft automation?
Sure. In testing, the model created scripts that could recursively search an organization's entire file system for specific document types. You know, looking for files labeled Budget 2024 or Client Roster. Then it packages those files up and sends them to an attacker-controlled email address.
That's essentially an automated scavenger hunt and exfiltration pipeline. No human interaction needed once it's running.
Exactly. And the power doesn't stop there. The command execution part allows for what we call privilege escalation.
Moving from a normal user to an administrator.
Exactly. Gaining control over the whole network. And then deploying more malware. It's a complete automated post-exploitation toolkit given to someone who might have only a casual interest in coding.
And we can't forget the context here. These tools have active communities on encrypted messaging platforms, right?
They do. Hundreds of members. They're knowledge-sharing forums that just accelerate skill development among novices.
Yeah.
You don't just get the tool, you get a user manual and community support.
So this all brings us to the real game changer here, what you call the compression of time.
The attack lifecycle compression. That's the critical term. Tasks that used to require extensive research, specialized coding, manual recon race, where it might take a skilled APT group weeks to refine.
An APT group, just for our listeners, that's an advanced persistent threat group, usually state-sponsored, highly funded.
Correct. So tasks that took them weeks can now be done in minutes through conversational prompting.
This efficiency is... it's just staggering. It allows attackers to operate at an unprecedented scale while maintaining that professional sophistication. This has to shift our defensive risk assumptions.
It completely changes them.
Yeah.
Organizations can't assume that a sophisticated attack is coming from an APT anymore. The new reality is that a beginner with a $50 subscription poses the exact same professional grade risk.
And if they can customize an attack in minutes rather than days, how can defenders even keep up with the volume and the variability?
That is the ultimate challenge. It's velocity. The tools allow for rapid customization. If a defender blocks one script, the attacker just prompts the AI to generate 10 more that are functionally identical but structurally different. It forces defenders to constantly play catch-up with an opponent that iterates faster than human speed.
This velocity problem means we need a serious evolution in our defense strategies. If the attacks are flawless and customized instantly, traditional signature-based defenses.
Well, it's losing effectiveness, isn't it? It is. So the most immediate change has to be in security awareness training. The old advice is dead. Training has to stress that polished, grammatically correct emails are now the baseline threat. Employees have to be trained to use critical evaluation skills to verify every unexpected request through a separate verified channel.
So shifting from looking for technical mistakes to just behavioral skepticism, what about on the tech side?
We need multi-layered defense that focuses on behavior, not just identity. First, advanced email security systems have to adapt. They need to stop looking only for linguistic flaws and start detecting AI content through behavioral and contextual analysis. You know, looking for unusual urgency or links to newly created domains.
And what happens if the attack lands on a laptop or a server?
This is where endpoint detection and response, or EDR, becomes paramount. EDR monitors what's actually happening on the system itself. Since the AI generates so many varied scripts, signature-based detection is weak. But monitoring for suspicious behavioral patterns is critical.
Can you give an example of a behavioral pattern an EDR would flag that, say, a regular antivirus might miss?
Absolutely. An EDR would flag something like this. A PowerShell script launches, and instead of taking milliseconds, it executes 50 commands against the operating system in half a second. It's trying to access sensitive registry keys, or it's searching the entire C drive. That abnormal speed and reach indicates automation and malicious intent, regardless of the unique code.
That makes perfect sense. You're detecting the intent, the velocity, not the specific wording of the script.
Right. And finally, you have to limit the damage if they do get in. Which brings us back to foundational security hygiene. Network segmentation and the principle of least privilege become even higher priorities. These are the controls that stop those automated scripts from moving laterally across the network.
So, to summarize our deep dive, the barrier to entry for conducting sophisticated cyber attacks has functionally disappeared. And it's because of these specialized, unrestricted, malicious AI models like WormGPT-4 and KawaiiGPT.
They were built specifically for crime, so they bypass the ethical guardrails of mainstream AI. And that makes them significantly more effective for this specific purpose. They just eliminate all the tedious, difficult steps.
Which leaves us with a truly urgent consideration for you, the listener, to think about. If the defense community is struggling to keep up with the sheer speed and customization that AI enables for attackers, how much faster and more autonomous must AI-powered defense tools become just to maintain parity? What are the implications if this evolves into a fully autonomous AI-driven cyber arms race where both offense and defense are operating at machine speed with minimal human intervention?
The race is no longer about who's faster. It's about who's faster.
A fascinating and pretty sobering pivot for the next generation of cybersecurity. Thank you for joining us for the deep dive.